Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemecek. And we're continuing on our examination of the Spiritual Gifts Handbook, Using Your Gifts to Build the Kingdom, by Randy Clark and Mary Healy, a Protestant pastor and a Catholic seminary professor. I love that combination. And they got together and they wrote a great book called The Spiritual Gifts Handbook, which is basically what are the spiritual gifts and how can you use them in your life? We just last time concluded a whole section on the revelations, which are, of course, wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy. And then now we're going to go into discernment of spirits. And discernment of spirits is another one of the gifts that's listed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. A discernment of spirits is a revelation from the Holy Spirit about the source of a particular thought, word, or action, whether it comes from the Holy Spirit, from ourselves, just our own nature, or even from a demonic spirit. And it has a lot of applicability, even according to the book. Sometimes it'll show us whether a prophecy is an accurate one or a true one. It might show us the temperature, the spiritual temperature of a room or of a person. And it helps us, especially when we're hearing words from God, supposedly, to discern whether they really are from God. All right, so another use of the gift is recognizing when an evil spirit is at work in or with someone. And another use relates to the distinguishing between a noble purpose and an ignoble purpose. So sometimes, I guess what we're saying is we're not seeing the devil under every rock, but we could sometimes see a wounded human spirit. We could see somebody who is trying to minister to people out of pride and out of a need for acceptance and love, as opposed to love the brethren. You know, the motive might be look at me as opposed to look at you, let me minister to you and all that, you know. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. For instance, and he gives the example of Acts 16:17, where Paul is at Philippi and there's the lady, the slave who is possessed by a soothsaying spirit, who goes around, follows them and starts crying out, "These are servants of the Most High, of the Most High God." And it's very disruptive because day after day, she follows him in the marketplace, yelling and screaming at the top of her voice about how these are the servants of the Most High God. Now, are they the servants of the Most High God? Yes.
Yes.
Right? It's not like she's not saying the truth, but it's an ignoble spirit because it is disrupting their ministry. It is drawing the attention of the authorities, and it is impelled by an evil spirit, because anytime there is a, as we know with psychics and all that kind of stuff, if they have any sense of revelation or they have any sense of word that they wouldn't otherwise know, that kind of revelation does not come from the Holy Spirit. It comes from a spirit, but it does not come from a Holy Spirit. So any revelation given to any by any spirit other than the Holy Spirit is something that we want to reject because it is a demonic impulse, right? So what she said was doctrinally correct, but she was disrupting Paul's message, right? So
right.
Finally, he did what? He exorcised her. But how do we know that spirit that girl had was demonic? Through the gift of discernment of spirits. He knew that. And you know what? It's not rocket science, because if somebody's following you around and they're disrupting and they are not baptized, then the spirit that they are prophesying with is automatically not the Holy Spirit. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a demonic spirit if it's a supernatural thing, okay? So we also need it to interpret. We can get a genuine revelation from God, but we really need to know how to interpret it. So I think that's pretty important. I think it's also important to receive correct information, but to know how to interpret it properly, right? Randy Clark gives some examples about a lady who was sexually assaulted, but what the word that he got was, I'm trying to process the story so that I say it in very few words. She was, let's see, a friend of his received words of knowledge, etc. He felt like he saw a woman that they were planning to pray for the next day, whom he had never met. In his vision, he saw her being sexually assaulted when she was young. Only two close family members knew about it, and the one who had told her never to talk about it to anyone. Then he heard the word adultery, etc. So this is a man receiving a genuine word of the Holy Spirit. But the next day when they prayed with the woman, she had a lot of physical problems as well as psychological and spiritual problems. The minute they began to pray, she fell off the seat onto the floor and began manifesting. When we say manifesting, what we mean is there's some form of demonic oppression that is happening, right? So that is manifesting. And the evil spirits cannot stand the name of the Lord Jesus, nor can they stand proximity to the Holy Spirit. So he heard the word adultery, and he thought that he had heard God correctly, that somehow she had illicit sexual relations outside of marriage, and she's saying, no, it was not adultery, it was the fact that I was sexually assaulted. So he had received correct information but had wrongly interpreted the revelation. And once they got to the end of it, they were able to completely deliver her from all her physical, spiritual, and psychological, not all of them, but many of them. And then Mary, go ahead.
It appears as though she had suffered like this for years. This is, you know, what a gift that is for her to be at the place where Randy was speaking, and for God to allow her to be in that place. But, you know, there's so many people like her that carry around all of these burdens for years, and she had physical difficulties as a result of this. And here with some prayer, she was healed. And so it's what you did when you were speaking to the group recently, that's what God calls us to do. If you have a sense that someone needs some prayer or something, you know, act on it. And this is a great story about the results that come from that. And they didn't have it exactly correct, but yet they kept probing till they got it right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That was Randy's story. And then Mary Healy's story is about our mutual friend, Dr. Tom Graves, who I was in Mexico with. He's a great guy. He's a doctor in family medicine. And he also is trying to grow in the gifts. And he had a patient who had been suffering for years from anxiety and depression. And he says, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me that what I heard was shocking, and it prompted me to share it with her, but I did not want to. So I love that inner struggle, right? I did not right. think her anxiety was medical, but rather something very frightening and painful that had happened in her childhood. When he said that, the woman's eye filled with tears, and she said, I want to leave that part alone. It doesn't matter anymore. And then this is where he received a word of knowledge. I told her I knew she'd been raped by someone she loved, someone who was supposed to protect her. And she started crying and said, yes, it was true, but it doesn't matter. You know how we tend to deflect.
Right.
And so I told her that God said today that we would defeat Satan and his demons if she was willing. But I was thinking, and I love how he's self-doubting, right? What if the prayer doesn't work? But he said it anyway, right? He did it anyway. So they had the prayer. And as we pray God's blessing, I told her I saw a beam of light shining directly from within the heart of the Father, directly into her heart. And then I actually felt a pop, and she was released. The person she had brought along to her appointment said, did you feel that? All three of us could feel it at the same time. I know it sounds strange, but God did a miracle. Her face was completely calm. Her frown was replaced with a smile. I taught her how to pray this prayer by herself when the evil one tried to attack her again. She was a patient who has always stressed me out because I could never accomplish anything meaningful for her. Now she is finally able to be a loving and at peace. I think this is a sign of the times we are moving to. It most certainly is. It goes back to our discussion about how people are set free by signs and wonders, and they're more open to receiving the gospel. Here you have somebody who was broken, who was manifesting panic and anxiety, who her physician, now imagine that's kind of about the last place in the world you would probably think you're going to receive prayer, right?
Right.
Maybe a prescription for Xanax, right? But probably not prayer. And he was able to just step out in faith, and because he was faithful to the word of knowledge and to the discernment, to what it meant, he was able to, through his prayer, to allow the Father to set her free. So that's the kind of story that makes me want to say, I want to do that too. You know,
don't you? I want to do that too. I'm going to claim that also.
Yeah, we
also. But she, like all of us, like to bury these things and kind of, you know, if we can just bury it and keep moving on, then we'll be fine. And that's not necessarily the case, and certainly wasn't in her situation.
Well, I think there's also certain cases in which you're about your daily life. This has happened to me recently, where I was in a store. I was just minding my own business. I just needed to pick up a shirt and leave, right? So I'm in a store. I'm looking around, and I hear this lady sharing with the sales lady something's going on in one of her son-in-law's life or something like that. And I feel the Lord just say, talk to her. And I'm like, no, Lord, I just want to pick up a shirt and leave. But I finally turned around and I talked to her, and she was open, and I was able to tell her that I was going to pray with her, that I was going to pray for her. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to kind of communicate the Father's love to her, you know, and in this, just within the context of this conversation. And it was crazy how once I finally got over myself and I just talked to her, how it looked to me anyway, like her face lifted,
mm-hmm.
you know, but maybe that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't just set aside my sense of feeling weird, you know?
Right.
Or even just my selfishness of just, look, I just want to pick this thing up and leave. I got stuff to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
well, you never know when God's going to call you to do something that, when he's going to give you a word of knowledge, when he's going to urge you to talk to someone like this situation. And I think oftentimes when we say to people, we know we can't solve the problem, but we tell them that we will pray for them, it's like their guards come down. It's like it's something they've never heard from anyone before.
I know. So anyway, we have finally concluded the chapter on the revelational gifts. You know, I keep moving prophecy in and out of revelational gifts, but I think prophecy is grouped by Randy and Mary as a gift of speech. So we have three groups of three, right, according to 1 Corinthians 12. We have the revelational gifts, which are wisdom, word of knowledge, and discernment of spirits. Then we have the power gifts, which are faith, healing, and miracles. And then we have the speech gifts, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So let's follow their categorization. The power gifts are related closely to the revelational gifts, and I think we've talked about that before, right?
Right.
The word of knowledge and a discernment and all that stuff apply very heavily when you're trying to figure out if a person needs prayer for healing, if they need a miracle, or if they need anything else in between, or if they even need a word of prophecy. Okay. So, but the primary thing is that we need something that builds faith. That's why I was so insistent with this group that I was before, I think a couple weeks ago, that the word that I had would be received by the person in front of everybody, so that everybody's faith would be built up. My faith, her faith, and the faith of the congregation.
Exactly.
And that is the threshold of the gift of faith. So the gift of faith is the unshakable conviction given by God that he is going to act supernaturally, which is pretty cool. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. He quotes Mark 11:22. He says the Greek wording of the verse literally says, have the faith of God. But it's been translated as have faith in God. But it makes much more sense to me, I think, that God is giving us faith, his pure gift of faith. And so what is that faith? It is the expectant faith that expects to move mountains. Okay. Oftentimes, God gives this kind of faith through a word of knowledge or through prophecy, which is what I was sharing with just now, mm-hmm. which communicate his desire for specific accomplishment of his will in a particular setting. So if I know your birth date, and you know that I know your birth date, and you think it's from God, you're much more open to the word that God has, right, to follow up on that, right? So it's the ability to believe that what he has revealed is truly going to happen. So we need to believe and then to also have the confidence that God is actually going to work. So
expectant faith.
So he gives this idea, Randy gives this example, and I heard him speak about that when we went to that conference, about how he was washing the dishes with his wife, and then all of a sudden he felt something in his neck start moving, and he figured that he heard the word carotid. Right. Carotid artery, and he felt like the Lord was working on his carotid artery, but he knew that his carotid artery didn't need any work. So he figured that it had something to do with what he was going to do later on that night. So he was really looking forward to healing a lady who had this this particular complaint when he came to the meeting, and he stopped the meeting when she came in, and in front of everyone, I spoke to her arteries and told them to be cleaned out. And I spoke healing to them, and you could see the arteries throbbing in her neck. She was healed and did not have to go to surgery. This kind of bold faith, when there is no doubt, was not something I worked up, but a gift that God worked within me. So how does that work? It works that God gives you faith through, probably the easier way to do it is through some word of knowledge or some other way that you know that that he's going to heal you. Just like I shared, we had a meeting last week in which one of our people stood up and said, I feel like God wants to heal somebody with some nerve pain in their teeth, etc. And the lady, immediately her hand shot up and said, that's me, I had a root canal. And that is that atmosphere of expectant faith, because the lady who gave the word of knowledge, her faith was built up. The other lady said, oh my gosh, the Lord knows about my pain. And so at that point, she was able to receive the prayer that then set her free from her pain. So there's the mechanics of it, such as I have seen anyway with my own eyes. So there's various other examples, but it's that activation of the gift of faith. Father Matthias Thelen puts it very well. Desperation, which is our own awareness of the fact that we're never going to do anything by ourselves. It's not about us, right? But right. There is a need, and it needs to be addressed, or we're desperate. So desperation plus expectation, that's that expectant faith, equals invitation to God to work. So desperation plus expectation equals invitation for God to work. And that for me is always a good shorthand for the gift of supernatural faith, because the gift of supernatural faith then cascades into the gift of healing. And I know we've talked about many kinds of healing, and we've talked about healing over a series of programs, so we probably don't really need to talk about it too much more in this segment, but other than to say that if we seek a work of healing, if we pray for people to heal, and we need to know a couple of things. One, praying for healing, praying for the sick is something that is commanded to us in the Great Commission and everywhere in the gospel. Jesus told the disciples, pray for the sick, raise the dead, deliver people from evil spirits, and preach the gospel. And nowhere does it say in the gospels that at a certain point he said, well, great, okay, now you can stop doing those things and just preach the gospel. It's always been an accompaniment with the word of freedom in the message of the freedom of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think, you know, that's very important. I think it's also important to say that when our faith is activated, a whole new universe comes into being. That we definitely know. Here's an example with Mary healing. The first to get into her prayer line was a lady in her 60s who could barely walk, even with a walker. She was almost in tears with the pain. She had fallen and broken her hip in three places. Surgeries were not helping. So we prayed over her, and when we finished, we asked if she would take our hands and try to stand up. She reluctantly did so, expectantly to hear, to experience pain, but there was none. We asked her to let go of her walker, take her hands, and take a few baby steps, and we promised not to let her fall. And she took a few steps, and her hands went up in the air, and she was running around the room totally pain-free. I love that kind of story. Remember the story that Lloyd Greenhaw told during the Unbound seminar that Lloyd Greenhaw is a good friend of ours, that he had been going to meetings and prayer meetings, he and his wife, Nancy, with this one lady who was paralyzed from the waist down and was in a wheelchair, and that he would like pick her up and take her, you know, out of the car and into the wheelchair and upstairs and all that stuff for years. And that during one meeting, she felt like this lady had heard that the Lord said he was going to heal her. And she told Lloyd, who was pushing the wheelchair, her wheelchair, "I think the Lord's going to heal me. Help me to get up." And he was like, I love the way he tells the story. He's like, "Are you kidding me? you're going to fall over." And she's like, "No, this is a clear example, I think, of expectant, miraculous, powerful, power gift, word of faith," where she said, "No, I think he is going to heal me. Get me up." So he got her out of the wheelchair. She took one step at a time. And by the time they were done, she was running around the auditorium. Now, that's a clear example of faith. It doesn't have to be everybody's faith, just as long as somebody has that kind of faith. Now, can the Lord heal even without faith? Yes, obviously. The Lord can do anything. But the Lord has chosen for some reason to make us participate in these things. And that's, I think, is a great sign. Now, did that lady feel loved by God? Yes. Was she a walking example of what God can do? Yes. So it worked both ways. It was God loving her, but also loving everybody around her by showing them that he's alive and well and loves us all to death and helps us to cooperate with him through the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we will take up this discussion in our next show. Thank you for joining us.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.